This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of intramembranous bone formation from the basic science section on orthobullets.com. Intramembranous bone formation is one of the two essential processes during fetal development bone formation and fracture healing. Again, intramembranous bone formation is one of the two essential processes during fetal development bone formation and fracture healing. It's also commonly known as contact healing and haversian remodeling. As far as the physiology of intramembranous bone formation, it occurs without a cartilage model, unlike endochondral ossification. So again, intramembranous bone formation occurs without a cartilage model, unlike endochondral ossification. Examples of intramembranous ossification include embryonic flat bone formation, such as in the skull, maxilla, mandible, pelvis, clavicle, and subperiosteal surface of long bones. Other examples include distraction osteogenesis bone formation, blastem bone, which occurs in children with amputations, fracture healing with rigid fixation, such as in the setting of a compression plate, and one component of healing with intramedullary nailing. As far as associated conditions with defects in intramembranous ossification, the one to know is cladocranial dysplasia, which is caused by a defect in intramembranous ossification and specifically is caused by a mutation in CBFA1, also known as RUNX2, which is located on chromosome 6. As far as the mechanism of intramembranous bone formation, the steps of intramembranous bone formation include 1. Aggregation of undifferentiated mesenchymal cells, 2. Osteoblast differentiation, and 3. Organic matrix deposition. With respect to regulation and signaling, intramembranous bone formation is controlled by a pathway called the canonical Wnt and Hedgehog signaling. Beta-catenin enters cells and induces cells to form osteoblasts, which then proceed with intramembranous bone formation. Important transcription factors include CBFA1, also known as RUNX2, and Osterix, otherwise known as OSX. Sclerostin is created by the SOST or SOST gene, which decreases bone mass by inhibiting the Wnt pathway. So again, as far as regulation and signaling of intramembranous bone formation, it's controlled by the canonical Wnt and Hedgehog signaling pathways. Beta-catenin enters cells and induces cells to form osteoblasts, which then proceed with intramembranous bone formation. Important transcription factors include CBFA1, also known as RUNX2, and Osterix, also known as OSX. Sclerostin, again, is created by the SOST gene, which decreases bone mass by inhibiting the Wnt pathway. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. All of the following statements regarding sclerostin are true, except, and the choices are 1, it is a product of the SOST gene, 2, overexpression results in decreased bone mass. 3, it is thought to be associated with sclerostiosis and Van Buchem disease. 4, it activates the Wnt pathway. And 5, it is derived from osteocytes. The correct answer to this question is 4, it activates the Wnt pathway. So sclerostin is an osteocyte-derived negative regulator of Wnt signaling in osteoblasts. Among other things, the Wnt pathway and the Wnt proteins are important regulators of bone mass. They are thought to work by stimulating the production of osteoblasts, and by inhibiting the Wnt pathway, sclerostin leads to decreased bone mass. Ditschke et al. Discussed the role of the SOST gene in the conditions sclerostiosis and Van Buchem disease. They described SOST as a gene that encodes sclerostin, which is a negative regulator of Wnt signaling in osteoblasts. The authors argued that the high bone mass seen in sclerostiosis and Van Buchem disease may be caused by increased Wnt signaling. Day et al. Reviewed the Wnt and Hedgehog signaling pathways. The Wnt and Hedgehog pathways, they describe, control the differentiation of progenitor cells in osteoblasts or chondrocytes. They found that upregulation of Wnt signaling leads to suppression of chondrocyte formation and enhanced ossification, which may be important in fracture healing. That's all for this review about intramembranous bone formation. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.